Today's shiur is Daf Chof Tes Masechta Yuma. We're going to begin on Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, the end of the fifth line. Yesterday we had learned the Mishnah, and the Mishnah was teaching us that every morning they, in the Beis HaMikdash, would go through a procedure to make sure that the Karban Tamid wasn't brought too early, that it wasn't brought before the Alois HaShachar, because as we learned in the Mishnah, one time they actually did bring it too early and it became disqualified and had to get burnt. So the Mishnah told us that according to Masi ben Shmuel, what happened was, Masi ben Shmuel oimer her pnei kol mizrach ad shebechevren, he said the entire eastern side became light till chevren, vu oimer heim. And he said yes. Ask the Gemara, man oimer heim, who exactly was the one that said yes? Ilay mahach dekai igra, was it the person standing on the roof and saying that the whole east side got light till chevron? So why is he saying yes? He's answering his own question. Says the Gemara, who cholam v'hu pasher? That's a pisgam the Gemara uses. He is the one that dreamt and he's the one that interprets it. He's answering his own question. Ela ha dekayara. So you'll say that who said yes? The person standing on the floor. Ask the Gemara, no yada. If he's not on top of the building, so how does he know what's going on that he could say yes? Says the Gemara, if you want, we could explain the Mishnah that the one saying yes is the one on the ground. The Mishnah could be explained that the person on the roof said yes. The Gemara explains each way. If you want to explain it as if the person on the roof said yes, the way the dialogue went was, Ami Iu, here Kopnei Mizrach. The person standing on the roof said the entire east side is light. Ramlai Hach de Kaya Ara Ach Bechevren. Then the person on the floor asks him, that means all the way till Chevren. Ramlai, and he responds, Ramlai Iu, and he responds, saying yes. Vibai same, another way of explaining the Mishnah. Hach de Kaya Ara Omer, here Pnei Kola Mizrach. The person on the floor asks him, did the entire east side get light? Vamlei, and the person on the roof asks him, what do you mean with your question? Do you mean with your question to ask, at sheb chevron, that till the chevron it became light? Vamlei, and he responds, hey, that's exactly what I meant to want to know. Is it light till chevron? The Rashi points out that why do we keep on mentioning chevron? So Rashi says, the Gemara says, in the Yerushalmi, because you want to mention Chevron, because Chevron represents the Schus Avos of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, who are buried, and the Imahos, who are all buried in the Maris Machpelah. Most Rishonim explain that it wasn't only on Yom Kippur that they had this dialogue when they wanted to mention Chevron. It was actually every day of the year they wanted to begin the day mentioning Chevron, mentioning Schus Avos. And that's why the Mefarshim explain, we begin every Shmon Esrei saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Again, we want to begin our tefillah mentioning the Avos representing Schus Avos. There's a story with the Gra. A Siddur was printed, a Siddur with Pirushim was printed, and the Siddur said, and they came to the Gra for a Haskama on the Siddur. So the Gra didn't write many haskamas. He said, I'm going to give this siddur a haskama. Why? Because the siddur had at the beginning of the siddur that why do we begin tefillah every morning with Adon Olam? Because the Medrash says there was no one that called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon until Avram Avinu. So we start the tefillah with Adon Olam to remind us of Zchus Avos that Avram Avinu called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. So the Gra said it's worth printing the entire city, the entire sefer, just for that vort. And I'm going to give us a comment to that sefer to represent that we should start the day mentioning, start the tefillah mentioning Schus Avos.
If we started every day, they would have the exact same dialogue daily.
Right. But lama hutzrich lekach, why did they have to make this thing? So as we explained, because one day they ended up bringing the Karban Tamid too early. Because they got confused between the moonlight and the sunlight. Ask the Gemara, Mi Mechlef, Can one get confused between the moonlight and the sunlight? But Tanya, Rabbi Omer, ain't a doima timur shalavano la timur shalchama. The rays of the moon are not like the rays of the sun. Timur shalavano, the rays of the moon, metama va'oila kamakal, go straight like a stick. Timur shalchama, the rays of the sun, mafziel kalkan, spread out. So how could they confuse moonlight and sunlight? Answers the Gemara, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Yoim ha-mu'unan haya, it was a cloudy day, u'mafzi l'kan al-kan, and therefore there wasn't a straight ray from the moon, it was just going through the cracks of the clouds. Amra Papa, so Rapapa says, Shmamina, from here we see, Yoim de'iva, a cloudy day is kula shimsha, really the sun is hiding behind the clouds, and not only is it hiding behind the clouds, when it goes through the cracks between the clouds, it's actually very strong. Says the Gemara, L'may nafkamina. What do I have to know this? What's the difference? Says the Gemara, L'shtuchi iris. If one wants to put out hides to dry, he could put it out on a cloudy day, and they'll still get dry between the sun, between the cracks. Inami l'chadar shrova. The Gemara we learned from Sechta Psochem says, Ish le'talush, a woman shouldn't need the matzah, lo'y b'cham v'lo'y b'cham v'cham, not in an area which is sunny, because it'll make the dough warm, hot, and there we'll have a problem that the dough will begin to rise. So therefore, even if it's a cloudy day, so one would think today I could do it outdoors because there's not any sun. One should know that there is sun even on a cloudy day. There's a machloikas rishonim. When one is not allowed to knead the dough for matzahs in the sun, in a cloudy day, what does that mean? Does that mean that in an area where it's always sunny, even on a cloudy day, don't knead the dough there, because the sun may come out through the cracks? Or perhaps some Rishonim say that even in a place where normally it's shady, and you could knead the dough all the time, on a cloudy day, don't knead the dough over there, because the sun could come through and make this plot worse. And that's the halacha. The halacha is that we don't work with matzahs anywhere outdoors, even on a cloudy day. And even the minig is that if we transport articles that we need for the matzah, the flour, the water, we always try to avoid exposing it to the sun. We always cover up the water and cover up the flour and all other ingredients used to make the matzah. Certainly we try to avoid having windows in the area where matzah is baked. That's why also most matzah bakeries, the room where the oven is not in the same room as where the rest of the processing of the matzah takes place. Again, not to expose the matzah to heat, which can make it rise. Mr. Brewer, however, says, let's say somebody made matzah and it was exposed to heat. As long as there's no reason to believe that the dough actually rised because of that heat, the matzah are kosher. Omer Rav Nachman, Zuma de Shimsha, the heat of a sunny hot day, kosher Shimsha, is worse than the sun. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? Rashi explains that the barrel in which vinegar is kept, if there's a hole in that barrel, the smell that emanates through that hole is worse than the vinegar itself. Other Mefarshim explain that the smell of vinegar is worse than the taste of vinegar, or the smell of a barrel of vinegar is worse than the taste of vinegar. Shaviri de Shimsha, the sun rays Kashma Shimsha are worse than the sun, sitting in the sun. The Simanach Tilfa, it's like the dripping of water. Sitting under dripping water is hotter than sitting in a bath of water. The Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara homiletically. He says that Zuhuma de Shimsha refers to a pasuk in the Torah that the pasuk seems to be a very simple pasuk. He gives an example. The Torah mentions all the kings from Edom. So when you read the pasuk, it's a very simple pasuk. But actually, there's a lot of deep esoteric meaning to that pasuk that we don't actually understand. Or the same thing, the cracks are of the sunlight are something that is not explicit in the Torah. We learn it through the Yud Gimel Midrash, Torah in the Dreshes Ben, and that is harder to understand than something that's explicit in the Torah. The Mefarshim also explain, Yoyim de'iva, a cloudy day, Kulil Shimsha, they explain, again, homiletically, Yom Diva, sometimes somebody sees a cloudy day, he sees tzaris, he should really know Kula Shimsha, it's all sunlight. Rav Gadai Shor used to always say, Golus
is the beginning of Geula. So if somebody sees a cloudy day, he should know, if somebody sees Chas V'Shalom that I asked Tzaris, Kula Shimsha, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be fine. Continues the Gemara. Her Huri Avera, thinking about an Avera, is Kashma Avera, is worse than doing the Avera itself. The Simanach, Recha de Bistra, the smell of meat brings more appetite than eating the meat. So Mefarshim explained, simple pshat, as somebody who thinks about an Avera, he gets himself completely involved with the Avera, and that's worse than doing an Avera. The Rambam in the Meir and the Vuchim explains, why is here Huri Avera, Kashma Avera? As we just explained yesterday, there are Ramach, Mitzvah Sasei, and Shesol Lois Sasei, corresponding to the Ramach Averim and the Shesol Gidim. Somebody that thinks, what does thought correspond to the head, to the mind, to the brain? Somebody that thinks about doing an Avera, what Aver, what limb of his body is he hurting? His most important attribute, his most important Aver, his mind. So that's why Hirhuri Avera, Akashma Avera. The Ksav Seifer explains, Hirhuri Avera, Akashma Avera. He says, there are two reasons why people do an Avera. Sometimes a person, you know, he can't withstand that he does an Avera. But sometimes somebody premeditate does an Avera. I don't care, I'm going to do Avera. Somebody who does an Avera because he fell, he did an Avera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him do tshuva. But Hirhuri Avera, somebody who premeditates and does an Avera, is Kashim Avera. The Meshech Chachma explains, very nice pshat from the Meshech Chachma, he says, the Vilna Gaon says, it says in Pirkei Avos, Dalef Neimi Ata Osed Litein Din V'Cheshbin. So he says, what's Din V'Cheshbin? He says, Din is, you're going to give a Din that you did an Avera. Cheshbin is that you could have done a mitzvah in that time, and instead, or with that, whatever talent you had, you could have used for mitzvahs and used for Avera. If somebody used his mind for Avera, that means he could have been learning with his mind at that time. He could have been thinking about doing mitzvahs at that time. What did he use his mind for? Doing Averas. That is worse than doing an Avera itself. Another pshat that I saw in a Huri Avera, Kashma Avera, is that when a person does an Avera, he realizes he does an Avera and he's going to do tshuva. But a person doesn't keep track of everything he thought of. So Hirhuri Avera, Kashma Avera, because he won't realize to do tshuva on those Hirhurim. Another pshat Hirhuri Avera, Kashma Avera, is that we know that one of the basics of Jewish law is that there's a difference between Shogeg and Mezid. What makes the difference between a Shogeg and Mezid? What your intent was. Hirhuri Avera, Kashma Avera. Thinking about the Avera is what decides how serious of an Avera is it. Is it just a shagig, or is it a mezit? But the Mefarshim explained, the Rikanti, the Rishon says, that's why we find karbonos, most karbonos could be eaten. Some karbonos, even the owners could eat. Some karbonos, even only Kohanim could eat. There's one carbon that nobody could eat from, carbon oil. What does a carbon oil come for? Where a person had Hirhuri Avera. Since Hirhuri Avera, Kashim Avera, it's so serious that nobody's even allowed to eat from that carbon. It should be completely burnt with Shem Hashem. The Sfarim say, so how does one prevent Hirhuri Avera? So the word Maka, which means a gate, stands for Hirhuri Avera, Kashim Avera. If a person puts around himself Maka, a gate, he does things to not come to a Nisayan, he won't come to Hirhuri Avera. Shila the Kaita, the end of the summer, is Kashmir Kaita. It's worse than the summer itself. V'simanach Tanura. Tanura Shagira. A hot oven that was already heated up a number of times is hotter than an oven that wasn't heated up a number of times. The summer, after the heat of the whole summer accumulated, it's hotter. Mefarshim explained that this too refers to learning Torah. Sometimes it's harder to understand something that somebody explained than learning it yourself, the Ben Yoyod explains. Ish said the Susak, the heat, the fever in the winter is kashim the kite. It's worse than having fever in the winter. The simanach tanura karira. To heat up a cold oven is harder than to heat up a hot oven. And if you see that even though it's cold outside, this person developed a fever, it must be that he's really sick. Migmer batikta, to learn something that he already learned worse once, is kashim mechadata, is learning something for the first time. For simanach tina batina, to make cement out of something that was already once cement, that means if you take brick and you grind it up and make it cement, it's harder than just to make cement from scratch. Why? So there's a beautiful verse from the Alta von Kelim. He says like this, if somebody learns something new, somebody comes to Shir and he's learning a Gemara he never learned before, so he knows he has to pay attention and concentrate, otherwise he won't understand the Shir. But if somebody's reviewing a Gemara, he takes a more lackadaisical approach. He figures, I learned this already. I know it already. And he doesn't really concentrate where he should. And that's why it's harder to learn that. Omer Avua, my Talmud Rebbe. Rebbe said that the sunlight is tough. So what's the reason for Rebbe's? I'm first to explain, it's not a question how you can ask why. It's a what. It's a physical fact. The point of the Gemara's question is, where do we find an allusion to this in the Torah? The Ksib, because it says in Tehillim, Lam Netzeach al Ayalas Ashacha. Ma Ayala Zu Karneh Mavtzilis. The horns of an ayol spread out. Lekan Lekan. Af Shacha Zu Mavtzil Lekan Lekan. The morning light, like we learned before, the sunlight in the morning, the rays spread out. The Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara again very nicely. He says that the halacha is, Tilchatchila, Krishma Shel Arvis should be said Tilchatzois. Krishma Shel Arvis should be said after the nights. Krishma Shel Shachris. What about the time from the Amud HaShachar to the nights? So if a person got delayed and he didn't say Krishma Shel Arvis, he could still say Krishma Shel Arvis B'dievet in that time. What if somebody has to get up early and won't be able to say Krishma by the nights? He could say Krishma Shel Shachar already after the Amud HaShachar. So there's man of Shachar, Mavtzilas Lakan Lakan. Sometimes you could say in that time Krishma Shel Arvis, and sometimes you could say in that time Krishma Shel Shachris. Just don't do it at the same day. Amar Rav Zeira. The Gemara Masechet Megillah says that that chapter in Tehillim of Lam Natzeach Al Yalas HaShachar refers to the Nais of Esther. That she said it when she was in the coming to see Achashverosh. Why is Esther compared to Ayala? Lam Lach Ma Ayala Rachmatzar, the Chaviv al-Balar, has a very narrow passage, so every time her husband has relations with her, it feels like she's a virgin, and that's why her husband enjoys those relations. She always felt like she was a psula. The Chasam Sofer says a powerful lesson from this Gemara. He says that the fact that the womb is narrow is a bracha, like the Gemara says, that the husband enjoys having relations with her. But there's a klala, because when she comes to childbirth, the childbirth is difficult, because it's a narrow passage. Says the Chasam Sofer, everything in life is that way. There's nothing that's perfectly good, and there's nothing that's perfectly bad. Everything has good aspects to it, and bad aspects to it. You should look for the good. Amar Rav Asi, Lama Nimshala Esther Chalashachar. Why is Esther compared to the morning? The Shachar represents the end of the night. Af Esther Soif Kolanisim, Esther was the last miracle. Ask the Gemara, Vika Chanukah. Chanukah was after Purim, so Chanukah happened afterwards. Answers the Gemara, Nitna Lichtav Kamrinan. So Rashi explains, the Gemara Masechta Megillah quotes a machloikis that the halach is the Kisvei HaKodesh, any of the Sfarim of Tanakh, on the Tamas Yadayim. Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara there questions, does Esther, Megillus Esther, have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh? So the Gemara here is saying that we're going according to the Omer that Esther is allowed to be written to Kisvei HaKodesh. So for Esther, there is a Sefer. Chanukah, although it took place afterwards, there is no Sefer to speak about Chanukah. So Mepharshim ask, why Taka? So they say, a few pshatim I saw. One pshat that I saw is, Esther represents a nes that happened in the Teva. Nobody really noticed it was a miracle. That's why the Shem Hashem doesn't appear in the whole Megillah. To show that even the Teva, in our everyday life, is full of miracles, that has to be committed to writing. When there's a miracle like the miracle of Chanukah, everybody notices there was a miracle, that's obvious. Another pshat that I saw from the Satmar Rebbe, he says, the whole miracle of Chanukah is Torah Shebal Peh. Because what was the miracle? That they came to the Beis HaMikdash and they found that all the oil was touched by Goyim. And something touched by a Goy is Tameh. Why is it Tameh? because it's Rabbanon. So the whole miracle is Torah Shiva Peh. So you can't commit it to writing because the whole miracle is based on Torah Shiva Peh. Another pshat that I saw, very beautiful pshat, is we say in the Al HaNisim, what happened on Chanukah? Lashkichem Torah Secha. They wanted to take away Torah from Klal Yisrael. And what was the nace? That we are able to learn Torah. So the whole Torah speaks about Chanukah. Every time you learn Torah, you're speaking about the nace of Chanukah. So there was no need to have a special sefer mentioning that nace. Ask the Gemara, that's fine according to the Mandama that Esther, Megillas Esther is nitten l'kosev. So Esther is the last miracle that there's a sefer on. However, Ela Mandama Esther loy nitten l'kosev. So there's no difference between Esther and Chanukah, so why are we calling Esther the last nace? Mayakal Meima. So Rishonim ask, even if we'll hold that Esther is not Midaraisa, but Midrabanon, everybody agrees that you have to write Megillas Esther, and you have to read the Megillah from the Megillah. The halach is if you read the Megillah by heart, you weren't Mekayim the Mitzvah. So the Gemara should answer, there's a difference between the Rabbanon and Midrabanon at least there's a difference. So I saw two answers. One answer is we're trying to explain a pasuk. A pasuk is a deraisa. That's one teretz. Another teretz is if we hold like the Mandama that Esther loydnit and lichtoiv, it's not kisvei kodesh. The only reason it's written is because it was in response to a situation. They wanted people to remember the Nes of Purim, and they saw people forgetting it, so they wrote it, which is the same as Torah Shiva Peh. That's why the Gemara was written. So that can't be considered a difference between Esther and Chanukah. So how are we going to explain this pasuk? Says the Gemara, he's going to explain the pasuk. Rabbi Yom Yefes, Amar Belazer, Dabar Rabbi Yom Yefes, Amar Belazer, Lama Nimshlo Tefilas and Tzadikim. Why are the Tefilah of Tzadikim compared? Kayela, Lomalach Ma Ayela Zu, Kozman Shemagdalis. Every year that it grows, Karnel Meftzilois, it horns keep on growing. Aft Tzadikim, Kozman Shemarbim Tefilah. As long as they keep on davening, Tefilas and Mishmas. And the Meiri says, beautiful pshat. He says, every Jew has to know that every tefillah we daven doesn't go to waste. Every tefillah that we ask Hashem for something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears, and ultimately He will listen to our tefillah. And the more we daven, the more Hashem listens. On the contrary, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear our tefillahs. We find that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Ovois and Imos Akorois, because He wants to hear the tefillah of Klal Yisrael. He says, the only place that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to listen to tefillah is when Moshe Rabbeinu davened to go into Yisrael, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to tefillah because he made a shvuah, he made an oath that you're not going to be allowed into Yisrael. Every other tefillah of Klal Yisrael, powerful words, is always listened to. Continues the Gemara. Shachtos HaTamid. So we learned that one time there was a mistake that the Karban Tamid was shachten before Alois HaShachar. So simple pshat, we're learning Masech de Yuma, and the Gemara is talking about on Yom Kippur. The 1 year Yom Kippur, the Karban Tamid was slaughtered too early. Ilema, so says the Gemara, Amos. Ilema, Mishai Masishana. So the Gemara wants to analyze the Mishnah. Are we saying that our Mishnah is not talking about Yom Kippur? L'sagi the laf Kohen Gadol. Our Mishnah speaks about a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol didn't do the Avoida all year. And like the Ritva explains, maybe the Mishnah is just using the Kohen Gadol as an example. So Ritva says, the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah never uses the Kohen Gadol as an example. Ella, how are we going to explain? What day of the year is our Mishnah talking about? Yom Kippurim. The question is, Mar Alvona Meika, on Yom Kippur. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is like this. The way the sun and the moon travel is we know that the sun makes a rotation around the world every 24 hours. The moon takes 24 hours and 48 minutes. So when the moon and the sun at the beginning of the month are lined up perfectly, and that's why the moon is not visible, because the moon is right between the sun and the earth. As they start rotating, and the moon takes more time than the sun, that's how the moon becomes more visible. At the end of the month, the moon comes up early in the morning. But Yom Kippur is 10 days in Tishrei. So the moon doesn't come up so early in the morning, it comes up earlier in the night. So how do they confuse the moon coming up with the sun coming up? There's no moonlight coming up that time in the morning, says the Gemara Hachkama. When they said that the sun's coming up, so the way you have to understand the Mishnah is, first the Mishnah tells us about all year round. and tells us what happened every morning, that they, you know, had this process of establishing that the Mudah Shachar began. That's the first thing, nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Why did they have it? Because one time during the year, they got confused and brought the Karmat Talmud too early. Then the Mishnah tells us another din, that on Yom Kippur, they started the day with this process, and the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh and started bringing the Karmat Talmud. The Meraim Sada says, that even though we learned yesterday in the Gemara, on top of Chav Ches Mabez, a machloikis, exactly what time they brought the Karmat Talmud every day, on Yom Kippur, everybody agrees they brought it at the earliest time possible. Why? Because we learned in the last parak the concept of chul shel the Kohen Gadol. We want to get the Kohen Gadol started early before he gets weak. So we bring the Karmat Talmud in Yom Kippur the earliest time possible. Says the Gemara, Tani Avur Rebbe Oven, Loi Zu Bilvad Amru, not only if the Karmat Talmud is brought too early, does it become disqualified and has to be burnt, Elaf Malikas Oif, if somebody did Malika, which is the way a bird is slaughtered with the fingernail in the base of Migdash, or Kamitzis Mincha, that takes out the Kamitzis from Karmat Mincha, Belaila, it was done at night, Tisarif, it has to be burnt. So Mefarshim say a number of things. The first question is, why would I think differently? So they say two reasons. We learned yesterday that how do we know that Shechita has to take place by day? Because it says, Ubiyoyim Sevchachem. So it speaks about Shechita. Here we're not talking about Shechita, we're talking about Malika or Kamitza. So perhaps Malika and Kamitza could be done by night. So he teaches us they can't be done at night either. Or, there's never a case where a oif is brought as a carbon seber, or a carbon mincha, which part is eaten, part not eaten, is brought as a carbon seber. So I might have thought that only by carbonos seber does a din and not allowed to be brought at night. But maybe not by other types of carbonos. Teaches us the Gemara that even by non-carbonos seber, by carbonos yochid, the same din applies. So Mefarshim asks a few questions. Taisus, there's a long Taisus here. One question Taisus asks, as we know that the carbon talmid has to be the first carbon of the day. So obviously, if you brought another carbon before, it's disqualified. So one Tarotzi says is that's only l'chatchila. Another Tarotzi says it's only midrabanon. Another Tarotzi says it only refers to burning the carbon, the aktara, not the shchita. Another Tarotzi says, when does that then apply? Beautiful Tarotzi. Only once the Zman of the carbon Talmud comes, so you're not allowed to bring another carbon before. Here the Zman didn't come yet. It's before the Zman. Similar teretz. The Gemara says, Olea Hashlem Kalabonis Kulam, that the last carbon brought in a day should be the carbon Talmud. So this carbon should be disqualified because it was brought after the carbon Talmud. So again, the same answer is given. Either that's only L'chatchila, or when is there din that in the time when you're allowed to bring the carbon, the last carbon should be a carbon talmid. Here you're bringing it in a time that's not the right time. Another question Taisus asks, that the halach is that we learn that no carbon should be brought before the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are open. So here, the gates weren't open, so certainly you can't bring this carbonus. So again, Rashi holds that din is only by carbon shlomim. A carbon shlomim can't be brought before the gates are open. Here we're not talking about a carbon shlomim. Another teretz given is that the gates were opened. But the gates were opened, but it was still night. Says the Gemara, Bishlam oilus oif, I could understand if the oilus oif was brought at night and it was disqualified, it can't be corrected because maida hava hava. Ask the Gemara, Ela Kaimitz, if the Kaimitz was taken out of the carbon mincha, Nahadra v'nikmitza, why don't we just take the Kaimitz and put it right back into the carbon, and then once day breaks, we'll do it properly. Put the carbons that you took out at night back into the carbon mincha, and by day, do kamitza properly. Yeah, put it back in the flour, put it right back into the pan, and do it properly by day. Says the Gemara, who tana lava, who amala, klisharis makachim. Once you took the carbons and put into klisharis, it becomes kaidish, and then once day breaks, everything that was in a klisharis becomes possible because of lina. So Taisus asks, if that's the case, so you don't even have to have that the kaimus was in a klisharis. The fact that the mincha was in the klisharis, once day begins, it becomes disqualified. So Taisus says, you're right. He says, even if you wouldn't have turned the kamitza, once day breaks, the the whole carbon mincha will become disqualified. Here it becomes disqualified the moment it's put into the kli sharetz. And once it was put into kli sharetz, it became disqualified. Meitzvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a braisa, zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol akar b'yoyim, anything that time to bring is by day, kadosh b'yoyim. Rashi says, most kabbonis. When could they become sanctified by being put into kli sharetz? By day, because that's their time. Kol akar b'layla, something whose man, whose time to bring is at night, kadosh b'layla, becomes sanctified at night. What does that mean? Shemen ha-menorah. The menorah is lit by night. The kol akar b'yoyim 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 b'layla, something that could be brought either by day or by night, kadosh b'yoyim 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 b'layla, could become sanctified either by day or by night. What does that mean? Rashi says the minchas nesachim. Says the Gemara, Ketanimius. What does it say there? Kol akar b'yoyim, something whose time is to be brought by day, kadosh b'yoyim, only becomes kadosh by day. B'yoyim in, strictly by day, av b'layla loy. So here we're saying that by putting the kmitza into this keli, it became kadosh. Why? This man for bringing a carbon mincha, we explained, is by day. So by putting it in by night, it shouldn't become kadosh. Answers the Gemara, Dilma. What it meant was, ain't a kadosh l'karev. It doesn't rise to the level of kedusha that it could be used as a carbon. But of a kadosh, it does become kadosh to the degree, the possible that it becomes disqualified. So ask the Gemara a different question. Master Rav Zeira. We've already discussed many times that what was the order, what was the process in the Beis HaMikdash for the Lechem Aponim. Every Shabbos the Lechem Aponim was changed. The old Lechem Aponim was removed and the new Lechem Aponim was placed into the Shulchan. The halacha is that if the Lechem Aponim is put in after Shabbos, you can't take it out next Shabbos because it wasn't there enough time. It has to be there from Shabbos to Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Masr Rav Zeira, it says in the Gemara Masech, the Menachos, see there is a lechem as a bezichem achas Shabbos. Instead of putting in the new lechem on Shabbos, he put it on Sunday. The hikter as a bezichem, and now next Shabbos, you burn the bezichem, the levaina, psulam. So the bezichem are certainly possible. Machlaikis, does the lechem become possible? Most Rishonim say that the lechem is not possible. Psulam refers to the bezichem. Ketzid yasa. What should you do? Yenechena l'Shabbos haba. Since you put it in on Sunday, so what? Where Rashi explains the Gemara is when next Shabbos comes, it wasn't there enough time. Leave it there just for another week, and then the next Shabbos you'll take it out and eat it and fine. Shafila on the shulchan, even though normally it's on the shulchan only from Shabbos to Shabbos, only a week, and here it'll be there almost 2 weeks. It's no problem, says the Gemara. Shafilu amdala shulchan yomim rabim, even though it ended up being on the shulchan more, almost 2 weeks, emekach klum, doesn't bother us. Ask the Gemara based on the line of reasoning we're following, v'may tigdush v'tifsol, it was put into the shulchan. We said that anything that's put into the shulchan becomes possible. So when the fact that it was put in the wrong time, although it doesn't rise to the level of kedusha, that I should be able to eat it. It should rise at least to the level of Kedusha that it should be possible. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Man the Kamaisiv, Shabbat Kamaisiv, it's an excellent question. How will Davud Reb Ovin answer it? Because like the Rishonim explained, the question must be answered. Because Reb Avoa had a Brisa. So we have two Brises that contradict each other. Davud Reb Ovin Namimus Nisakama. The Ksava he holds, Laila Eimachus Zman. Yoimachus Zman. What's the answer? Very simple answer. In our Gemara, when the carbon mincha was put in, instead of putting it in today, I put it in the night before. So it's not a big difference from when it was supposed to be put in to when it was actually put in. It's instead of putting it in the morning, I put it in the night before. That is not considered a significant enough amount of time to say that what I did is meaningless. And therefore, what I did is meaningful enough that by putting the kmitza into the kli sharetz, the kmitza becomes possible. However, here what happened, the lechem was put in Sunday. When should we put in? The following Shabbos. So it was put in so much in advance, so then it's what I did is totally meaningless, and by putting it into the shulchan, it doesn't become possible. Laila ein mechus hazman. The night before is not a big difference, and that's why what we did is meaningful enough that it should become kadosh and posel. Yom, by putting it in Sunday before, mechus hazman, and that's why it's meaningless. Ask the Gemara, fine. So what happened here? I put it in Sunday. But when the Friday night following the Sunday comes, so it's right before. It's like our mincha. So kimati be shimshi, when the Friday night before comes, it's in the shulchan, and it's in the shulchan too early, so it's become kadosh for being put into the shulchan. Now it's not such a big time discrepancy. V'tivsel, it should become posel. Om Ravina. So Ravina says, you're right. Shekudim v'silkai. This person put in the lechem Sunday, and he makes sure to take it out before Friday night. Because if indeed it will be in the shulchan on Friday night, it will become posel. That's his teretz. Mazutra v'tamer of Ashiyama, I feel time b'shloikin v'silkai. It didn't put it out. He didn't take it out before Friday night. Kivin shesidru shloikin mitzvasai. Since he put it in Sunday, nasa kamish shesidru kaif. It's like a monkey did it. So the way Rashi explains is like this. The person who put it in, this Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had explained this. The person who put it in Sunday, Sunday till Shabbos, there's a very big time discrepancy. So his act is totally meaningless. Whereas in our Gemara, when did he do the kmitza of the mincha? He did it right the night before. So there's not such a big time discrepancy. So it's not considered like a monkey did it. It's not considered a meaningless act. And that's why, by putting into the klisharos, it becomes kadosh and posel. Taisus says a different answer. And I always like to explain this Taisus the way the Shor Mitzion Balokha explains Taisus. He says like this. The person who put the lechem into the shulchan on Sunday, he realizes what he did is meaningless. You don't put lechem into the shulchan on Sunday. So it's kamisha sadra kaif. It's like a monkey did it, and it's totally meaningless. However, in our Gemara, the person who put the, who did the kmitza on the mincha at night, what he thought, what he was doing, was completely halachically valid. He just didn't realize you're not supposed to do it at night. So since what he thought is halachically valid, and it actually isn't halachically valid, it's worse than had he not thought that it's valid. Shem Tzion Balocha gives the following example. He says, in a halacha, many times, you could be mekayim a mitzvah, even if you don't have kavana. You don't have kavana, but you mekayim the mitzvah. But what's going to be the halacha if you have kavana, but it's the wrong kavana? That's even worse. Having a wrong kavana is worse than having no kavana. Here too, if a person realizes what he's doing is meaningless and he does it, it's meaningless. Here he thought what he's doing is right. And it really is wrong, because you're not supposed to do kmitza by night. That's why it's worse, and that's why in our Gemara, if he did kmitza at night, it becomes kadosh by being put into the klisharis and posel, whereas if you put the lechem into the shulchan on Sunday, it's a meaningless act, and therefore, as long as it remains there for the next Shabbos, that's when the clock starts ticking, and if it remains there from Shabbos to Shabbos, it could stay kadosh. In fact, according to Rashi, it could stay there for many weeks. And when you eventually take it out, as long as it was there from a Shabbos to Shabbos, it's going to be fine. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that if lechem is ever in the shulchan past Shabbos to Shabbos, it's there too long and becomes possible.